Sisters and brothers, Scripture gives us words of life that, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, lead us to the word of life. Let us listen then for God's guidance toward that word in this lesson. Comes from Matthew's Gospel, Matthew verse 20. This is the period of Jesus' ministry as he is most actively beginning to turn his sights toward Jerusalem. And it is, by many reckonings, not least of the mine, of sort of a rough slog of weeks if you study Matthew closely, because it's a lot of stories about vineyards and landowners, and they have a kind of a dark, a kind of an ominous cast about them in many respects. And the reason for that, there are many reasons, but among the reasons is Jesus is really trying to prepare his followers who are not really understanding what Jerusalem is going to represent for them, for Jesus, or for this thing they don't even have a word for yet that will become the church. And Jesus is trying to say there will be dark times, and he's trying to name some of that darkness. And that makes, for those of us who come to church and just sort of, you know, that's the main listening to Scripture that you do in a week, it's a bunch of series of weeks where it seems like, I thought this was good news. I'm not sure how I feel all these weeks. But nevertheless, there is great wisdom in it. I don't know that we're going to go 6 for 6 this year. There are lots of things to talk about, and we want to talk about them all. But this morning is one of those passages, one of the parables in the vineyard. And so Jesus is telling this parable to his followers. It's Matthew 20, beginning at the first verse, if you would like to read along, but you certainly don't have to. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And after agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them off into his vineyard. When the landowner went out again at about 9 o'clock in the morning, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also, go to the vineyard. I'll pay you whatever is right.' And so they went. The landowner went out again at about noon, and then again at about 3 o'clock, and he did the same thing. In fact, about 5 o'clock, the landowner went out, found others standing around, and said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' And they said to him, 'No one's hired us.' And so he said to them, 'You also go into my vineyard.' And when the evening came, the vineyard owner said to his manager, 'Call the laborers, give them their pay, beginning with the last and going to the first.' And when those hired about 5 o'clock came forward, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first to have been hired came forward, each of them also received the usual daily wage, but they had thought that they would receive more. And so when they received the usual daily wage, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' The landowner replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? So take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I gave to you. And am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I'm generous? So the last will be first, And the first will be last. Friends, this is the Word of God, and it can be trusted. Everybody loves it when Jesus talks about love, but they hate it when he talks about work. By everybody, I mean, let's face it, I mean me. I mean, really. There's a lot about the love stuff it's really good. There's that line he has about how every hair on our heads is counted. I don't have as many hairs on my head, but I like that they're counted. I'm counting them too. More seriously, of course, in the Gospels, there are all those people Jesus meets that he looks upon and loves. It tells us that so many times. From the disciples with their nets by the seashore to the woman he rescues from getting stoned to death by her neighbors and your former friends to Zacchaeus, that tax collector, the little one who starts out watching forlornly from the tree as Jesus passes by. And Jesus looks at all these folks and he loves them and their lives are transformed. And I love that. Love thy neighbor as thyself. I mean, that's harder, but it's still good, right? But when it gets into vineyards and servants and masters, these stories that come toward the end of the Gospel of Matthew, there's a lot of me that wants to push back. Because it's one thing to set stories of forgiveness and mercy and love and reconciliation among members of a family. Between old friends who have a falling out, these contexts in which things can go wrong, but in which there is enough sense of being together, of being bound up in one another's lives, that reconciliation makes sense somehow. It's one thing to talk about forgiveness and mercy in that kind of context, but it's kind of another. It's another when he's talking about money. Or effort, or credit going where it's due. When you get into that kind of territory, the word I think that a lot of us are most looking for is a word that lifts up pure and simple fairness rather than the notion of generosity. When it comes to work, at least, I mean, I know I would rather believe that the advice that Jesus has for some Johnny come lately is that next time Johnny ought to come a little earlier, thanks. Work is like that, right? Work is like that for a lot of us. And I want to name that this morning. I want to name that not because Jesus is trying to preach about work in today's scripture, but because our own relationship to work and the challenge we have in collaborating with others can make the gospel message today particularly hard for us to hear. I mean, you heard the setup, right? You heard the story. A wealthy man, a landowner, gets up before first light. He goes into town looking to hire day laborers to work in his vineyard, which was very much how it worked back then. And the story will later indicate, actually right at the end, that the day turns out to be not just hot, but actually scorchingly hot. A word that is all the more remarkable and noticeable in the story because this is a particular word that appears only two more times in the entire New Testament. So Matthew is sort of going out of his way to characterize the day and what will come. But this first set of laborers, as you heard, are the guys who are there before dawn. They're the ones who would have filled up their canteens the night before. They're the ones whose wives would have said, you should always put on sunscreen, and I bought you the good kind. These are the ones who went to bed early. You know, it's not like that starts just one day. You know, you imagine that over time they're pretty used to working that way. And so maybe they even have their agreed upon spot on the wall for when the owner or a foreman pulls up in a truck and then counts off how many guys he's going to need for that day. They got their spot. Anyway, in this particular day with this particular landowner, that's exactly what happens, and off they go. But then a few hours later, the truck swings back through town, right? And now, sitting on the wall are sort of that next group of guys, the guys who woke up late. The guys who maybe missed their bus, who, you know, were sort of pulling things together last minute and they couldn't find their keys and they lost that window. You know, remember, I remember when I was working at Yale New Haven Hospital and I was commuting to New Haven from Pelham, and the difference in between leaving at 5:57 and 6:04 was about 25 extra minutes of traffic. Somehow that was the window. So these are the guys who missed that window, right? And so when they get to the wall, it's more of a kind of first come, first served sort of thing, although probably they too know each other. Hey, nice to see you. I'm not the only one who's late today, maybe one says. Baby had us up half the night. That gets better. Don't worry about it, man. The truck pulls up. They all hop in. Off they go. Then a little later, the truck pulls back around again along that wall. And now it's the guys who had to take the kid to the doctor first thing. The guys who maybe left their canteen and their lunch at home and who need to make sure that they stop at CVS on the way home in order to pick up a prescription and get right back to it. And they know everyone in the house is going to be waiting to see if they walk in with the little bag or if they blew it. And maybe they're on that wall and they're sitting in no particular order because they're more in their head about getting all the things done that they need to get done, more in their head about whether they're going to get enough money in order to come back with that little bag from CVS. And so it goes on with the truck showing up at that wall every few hours and the vineyard owner telling whoever it is who's managed to find their way there to go ahead, to hop on in, head out with him to the vineyard. And finally, just as happy hour is about to start on the other side of the market square, some of the guys who kind of, well, never really stopped from the night before kind of wander out. And they manage to plop themselves down on the wall, and maybe they're trying to kind of comb their hair, and they're hoping that they look a little bit better than these other hard cases do, because whoa. And the truck pulls up again. And off they go, trying to keep from being the one who gets truck sick, arriving at the vineyard just in time, maybe to load a sack or two from the day's picking, that all that stuff that everyone else has been doing. But then they've only done a bag or two, and the owner honks his horn to call everyone back in. And now comes the hard part. Because the foreman of the vineyard hops out, maybe from the passenger side of the truck. He has that little metal box full of 20s. And he tells everybody to line up, starting with the guys who just got there. And then it's like the worried dads, so on and so on, all the way back to the guys who've been there since dawn, who are, you know, taking the last swig or two from their carefully rationed canteen. Those guys are at the back of the line, right? They're at the back of the line, so they have a really good view. They got a good view of the line that's ahead. And they see each of the charity cases, the basket cases, the flat-out hard cases, and each of them getting a 20 and a handshake for doing what looked to them like next to nothing. Maybe those guys at the back of that line, they're thinking about the cold morning before dawn and then that scorching heat in the field and their faithful effort. And somehow, they begin to think maybe they're about to get the biggest bonus of their lives. But when their turn comes, the foreman gives them each a 20 and a handshake, just like he had with all of the others. And if you want to think about what it felt like in that moment for those guys, the answer is it hurt. It hurt. It hurt because somehow it seemed to mock their faithfulness. Have you ever felt that way? Something like that ever happened to you? Has it ever felt like life or fate, maybe even God, was mocking your faithfulness, your dependability? To the point that to be dependable feels almost like it's something for schnooks? It's the theological term for it. I mean, I used to think that nothing in the world proved the theological doctrine of total depravity, the reality of a sin-sick soul, quite like trying to do a group project when you're in middle school. Right? I hear you. I see you. Or you may remember the wonderful play Amadeus by Peter Schaeffer, which was also a movie, and which imagined the career and really the death of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. And you may remember, if you remember that work, the villain was a rival court composer named Antonio Salieri, who, in the telling of the story, has given everything to music, everything to the work of being a composer, and he pursues music like a form of religious vocation, only to have himself upstaged by the seemingly effortless talent and the seemingly bottomless self-indulgence of this genius Mozart. And Salieri's envy, his sense that it's his faithfulness itself has become a joke, makes him more or less murderous. And the point, as I take it, is not that Salieri is in fact unusually evil at all, but rather that the darkness, the power of his feelings, is altogether human, altogether common in its way. And I wonder then, as I think about this morning's parable, if that's not some of how those guys at the back of the line are feeling. And the challenge that the parable therefore names is a big one, because it's all too easy, all too typical, at least of our world, to see one another almost exclusively in terms of who deserves what. That, if I'm honest, you know, that guy, he deserves less. Or, if I'm honest, I think I deserve a little more. What we want more or less is maybe even for God to come to us prorated. And what Jesus is here to tell us this morning is that love, of course, doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way in the Father's love for us, and it doesn't work that way in the love Jesus invites us to offer to and grow into with one another. Because whatever it was they were harvesting in that field, it must not have been love. It must not have been gratitude. must not have been empathy, none of the things that serve to nourish a soul, because if that's what had been planted in that field, then the ones who'd gotten there first would have had it the most. And they would have found themselves fortified, strengthened, opened the most. But that's not what the story says happened. Instead, their attitude, at least their feelings in that moment of 20 and handshake, seemed to be, well, the world should be first come, first serve, and let's prorate it all the way down from there. Thanks. That's what sounds fair to me. Except that's not how it works. Not when we're talking about the kingdom of God. Not when we're talking about the love of God. Because what matters to Jesus isn't when you get to the center of town and decide to sit yourself down on that wall. It doesn't matter, in some ways, if you're up early, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, got your coffee ready to go, or if you drag yourself there after sleeping all day in yesterday's clothes. The point, as far as the kingdom of God is concerned, is that if you get yourself to the wall, Jesus will show up in that truck. He will find a place for you to join in the work of the vineyard. And if we don't understand, if we don't recognize the harvest to be lives of love and gratitude and empathy, not only for us, not only for the people we know are our concern, but for all the people God loves, all the people that are God's concern, well, it just might be true that we've been lining up on the wrong wall and hopping into the wrong truck. And if that's true, then we better just hope that there is still time, that we can still hurry, that it's not too late for us, that the truck is going to swing around one more time to see who's made it to the wall. There are moments in life that test us, right? They test us despite our very best intentions. And there are situations that can seem to mock our dedication to the people, the duties God has placed before us. And there are times, of course, when what we do remains, it seems like, unseen and unsung. And that's hard. And there are days when it's just hard because it is. And we get crabby. We get grabby. That happens. We know. Lord, right, we know. It's not always easy to get ourselves out to the vineyard to do what God needs us to do. But the message for me in this reading, the message for me today, isn't about the fairness or the unfairness of the wages, although I admit I can get stuck on that. The message is about the faithfulness of the truck. And so may we always rejoice when we're out in the vineyard. We see it pull up, dropping off somebody else to join us in the work, recognizing grace whenever it arrives, whatever form it may take, and even what it may ask of us in terms of growing and reaching out and making a world where everyone has a spot on the wall and a spot in the vineyard. Amen.